We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
All right, folks, before we talk about the 3-0 Kansas Jayhawks, we got to talk about Emprise Bank. The Emprise Bank debit card is good anywhere. You have access to 55,000 fee-free ATMs worldwide through the AllPoint ATM network. You can get the same kind of access to your money as any bank across the country while getting the value of working with a trusted partner in Emprise Bank. Shout out Emprise Bank. We love them here. But we love the Kansas football Jayhawks more, boys. Not more, equally. We love Emprise and Kansas Jayhawks. But the Kansas Jayhawks, AB's flapping his wings. The Kansas Jayhawks are 3-0. B-turn, we spent last week like kind of getting crazy with it. It felt like, you know, we say, okay, let's say we beat Houston. Can we be 4-0? Can we be 5-0? And I kind of like talked us off. I was like, wait, let's settle down here. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. I'm done with that. The Hawks are 3-0. We can start 6-0. I don't even care. Like, all possibilities are there because this team is freaking good. Jalen Daniels is freaking good, and my hopes have never been higher. I'm ready to go bowling. So, B-turn, how are you doing?
This is real, boys. Like, this is not a fluke. Maybe after the West Virginia game, you say it's a Big 12 opponent. Those games are high scoring. You've seen Big 12 football. Now you go to Houston, a team that's actually well coached, great defense. They're known for their defense. They're supposed to win double digit games this year, supposed to win the American, and you go in and hang 48 points on them. They were giving up 100 yards rushing a game, and we were at 280 with like 10 minutes left. And we could have put up 50 plus easily if we wanted. It was kind of vanilla at the end. You're sitting at 41 or so, and they kicked two field goals. But when you have this, I mean, we could do an hour episode talking about Andy Kotelnicki. We could do an hour episode talking about Lance Leipold. We could do an hour episode talking about JD. Like, we have one of the best play callers in the country. There's no question about it. I don't care what anyone says. We have one of the best coaches in the country, and we have – people keep saying one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's that good right now. He just won National Player of the Week, and – every third down, I think you guys can – everyone can agree with me. I think we're the number one offense on third downs this year, converting-wise. And every third down for him, he's moving the sticks with his feet. He's finding Lawrence Arnold. He's been unbelievable all three games. And I don't – dude, this is crazy. And it's like if KU didn't have that stigma around them, people would be – I feel like people wouldn't be, I guess, not wanting to get their hopes up, I'm trying to say. Like if you don't have this past 13 years of history – yeah. I feel like KU would have been ranked. KU would have been – people would be like, this team's going bowling. But still, people don't want to get their hopes up. But this team is that good right now. Like this, when you have this good of an OC, QB, and head coach, I think you can hang with anyone and beat anyone. Like, I could literally see us being 5-1 or 6-0 after this three-game home stretch.
Yeah, so, AB, you weren't on last week. And I don't know. I feel like me and you have kind of – been similar with like, let's temper expectations, let's not get out of control here. I've kind of just shifted from I'm riding the wave, no pun intended, shout out to the green wave. But I'm riding the wave and I'm just along for the, like, I am fully bought in on this team beating Duke. I'm fully bought in on this team potentially beating Iowa State. I think they can do it. Where are you at? Like, are you sky high like me, or are you still hesitant?
I'm like almost all the way in, which is terrifying, but like I was thinking about it earlier today and I went down the Big 12, and maybe I'm just like not knowledgeable enough to talk about this, but it like it all makes sense to me when going through this. Is there a single game the rest of the year where we're going to have the worst coach and worst quarterback? Like, I think Lance is maybe the best coach in the country, and Jalen's playing better than anybody. Or not, I meant conference.
Conference.
Is JD the best quarterback in the league?
I know Gabriel from Oklahoma, the UCF transfer, has been sick. Spencer Sanders has been pretty sick at Oklahoma State, but like, they're not that much better than Jalen. Like, I don't look at those two and be like, oh, that guy's going to go play 15
years
in the league when he's done.
At the first three games and not say Jalen Daniels is in the conversation for one of the best top two quarterbacks. Like, you just, there's not an argument made that he's not.
We have national writers saying that he's a top five Heisman candidate right now. Dennis Dodd, back to back weeks. And I know, like, it's probably not going to happen and his odds are still crazy to win it. But even the fact that that's being brought up in the last, what, six or seven games that he's played have just been unbelievable. Like, I think we have enough data now to back it up to say this isn't fluky. This isn't just a flash in the pan. Like, he's actually just fucking sick. And if you have the better quarterback and the better coach, and most games we're going to have that, you got a chance to win a lot of football games. So, like, I'm all the way in on this. If I see – if we blow out Duke, I'm going to be completely bought in on us winning, like, eight games.
It's funny, AB, because I remember when we went through the schedule at the beginning of the year, we were like, okay, yeah, we all agree we'll get three wins. Like, we bet the 2.5, that cash, thank God.
Over by October, baby.
Over by October. But, like, we sat there and we said, okay, but look at this conference, though. Like, Iowa State's going to be good. TCU's fine. Like, K-State's going to be good. Like, we just couldn't figure out where we were getting our wins, and now we're 3 weeks in, and you're saying things like that, and I love it. It's like, this team has proven so much over 3 weeks. Like, we're not just winning these games. I know West Virginia win was an overtime, but we freaking controlled that game until we kind of melted down late. But we were the far better team for two, three quarters of that game. We sucked at the beginning. We sucked at the end of the fourth quarter. But, like, we dominated. And in the Houston game, we sucked at the beginning and then just thoroughly dominated that team. Weather delay did nothing. We completely controlled the game from there, and we obviously controlled the game in week one. So, like, we're not just, like, squeaking out ugly wins. We are playing incredibly efficient, awesome, entertaining football, which is just, like, something that is still hard for me to comprehend. Like, I don't know.
If you don't count the drive before half, we scored on seven straight drives to end the game, if you don't count the kneel downs too. Five touchdowns in a row and then two field goals. And just the rushing attack, like, everything works for Kotelniki when he gets it going. Like, the play to – everyone's been talking about it, the handoff to Devin Neal, which is the second straight week they've done that, or they snap it to Devin Neal, and then he gives it to JD and then throws it to Casey. But no one's talking about Bean coming around the end too.
He was scoring.
Like, the way – you see Bean – like, teams are going to know Jason Bean, just backup QB. He's got speed. And, yeah, he was open, could have thrown it there, and then – the touchdown to Tory Loughlin is my favorite player of the year so far. Like, fifth string running back, and he just runs a little post, and JD throws another dime.
Dude, and like that play you mentioned.
Averaging 53 points per game.
It was just like we were toying with him at that point. Like, it was just like, yeah, you want to do a direct snap to Neil, who hands off to Daniels and throws it to the guy sponsored by Applebee's. Like, that will be funny. Let's do that because we know it'll work. Like, Kotelniki is just toying. He is straight up, like, B-Turn, I think you've tweeted it. He's been, like, almost perfect. Like, you know there's times where you watch a game and you're like, what the hell was that play? Why are you running it right there? Why are you passing it there? He always calls the right play. And I know it's not going to stay that way, but it has truly been shocking how enjoyable, outside of the first few possessions of these last two games, how just enjoyable it's been to watch Kansas football. We are, I mean, Jalen in that option always makes the right decision. It just blows my mind. He always makes the right decision. He finds holes that you don't even see. Like, he's become a weapon on the ground, which is not really something I felt like was going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. What's even crazier to me, and like a lot of people will discount the defense, and I get it, the numbers probably look worse than I personally think they are. You can't take points away, but if you take the first 8 minutes out of the West Virginia and Houston game, like, yeah. I feel like they've been pretty damn solid. They just got to get off to a hotter start, and the offense hasn't put them in the best position at times to start. But, and then another thing, a 42-7 run that KU went on against Houston, like that's Alabama versus,
yeah,
that's Alabama versus New Mexico State stuff. Like 42-7,
they
is
won
insane.
12 games last year.
Yeah,
Houston's home opener. They're 1-1 with, they had a shot to be 2-0 or 0-2, whatever, but they're coming home, and Dana Holgorsen, I mean, it's like normal for coaches, I feel like, to hype up the other team, but in his presser during that week, he's like, this Kansas offense, like, they're different and they're just so hard to stop. And that makes me think about the coaching staff even more, where it's 2 weeks in a row, you're down 14-0 and the offense is sluggish to start. It just lets you know how good they are at adjusting, like Kotelnicki just reading defenses and things like that. And yeah, JD with the option, 27 carries for 237 yards this year, jeez, leading the team in rushing.
Makes sense.
And I was thinking earlier, like, remember last year we ended the year well and we have that podcast and I get going. I'm like saying, dude, we could maybe beat OU, and you both just start dying laughing. And
it's still funny because it's the one game on the schedule I'm like,
but what
I lose.
What I was gonna say is, what if before the year we do a preview and I look at you guys and go, this Kansas team's gonna start 3-0 and they're gonna be an 8 or 9 point favorite against Duke at home coming back from Houston. You guys, we would have died laughing if
D-Mac Brandon McAnderson would have been like, hell yeah. Like, he has no doubt that this team's starting 5-0, 6-0. Like,
if we were 2-1 coming home, I would be thrilled. If we were 1-2 and rocking with those two teams on the road, I'd be pumped.
The last time I was on the pod, I think I closed it with, if we just win one of these next two road games, we'll have a chance to go 3-1 going against Iowa State at homecoming. And Ryan specifically laughed me off the podcast. Like, it's just insane. And that's not a shot at you. That's just like, that's been KU football. We beat Tennessee Tech. Who the hell knew what we were going to have after that? But, and I even stretch it back further. Like, think, and I think I texted you this, Rye, but think if I would have told you when we fired Les Miles, or when he resigned, or whenever, March 9th, 2021, so 18 months ago, that in September 22, we'd be, what, 30th in the AP poll, like receiving votes, 3-0, favored by 10 to go to 4-0, and then have two more winnable games right after that. Like,
there is like never,
I would have been shot dead.
The luck, I mean, like, just being, calling it quits and saying, Les, you're gone. Jeff Long, you're gone. Like, just getting rid of that when we did. Because you, a lot of programs, and we've done it, a lot of programs let that thing, let that just string along. Like, you're like, oh, we've already fired three guys in the last 10 years. Like, let's just give him some time. And I just love that we were like, nah, these guys suck. Les did some shady things. And we just cut ties, and we were done. And it somehow, how the hell we ended up with Lance Leipold, how everyone else missed on him, I don't know. I'm sure not everyone missed on him, but like, I feel like we have, you said it, like, with the current coaching staffs in the Big 12, like, Gundy, you probably put ahead of Leipold just based on what he's done.
But Campbell, like, maybe. Venable,
yeah, Campbell. You can't really, and you can't even judge Venables yet as a head coach.
Right.
It's awesome. Yeah, he's a coordinator. Guys, Leipold took over a winless team.
Yeah, 0-9, 0-10.
And there was like no jobs open. He could have waited. He could have stayed at Buffalo, waited a whole year, got another job. We got so lucky that there was no jobs open. And Leipold and the staff are so competitive that they wanted to come here and prove they could win. Takes over a winless team, doesn't have an offseason, comes here and we're competing by the end of the year. Almost beat OU. And now you're 3-0 on the cusp of being ranked. Like, we were winless 2 years ago. And this dude's about to have us ranked. If we win this weekend, we should be ranked. And they are.
Will we be ranked if we win this weekend?
I think so. I know there's a lot of teams we have to hop, but it's just like the story just keeps growing and growing. Every time they win a football game, I feel like it'll just keep getting bigger and bigger and more people. Like, and the people that had us ranked anyways will move us up higher, which will get us more points. It's just, CDOT tweeted this out the other day. It's the best story going in college football. And to hear that really from a Mizzou fan, it's like, it's kind of bizarre to hear that about KU.
We haven't seen There's 13-year-old kids that haven't seen KU football win more than three games in a year. And we're 3-0 with a three-game home stretch.
It's still, like, hard for me to accept. Like, when we started bad against Houston, like, immediately I start thinking, like, it was a fluke. Like, here we go. Here we go. Like, my brain can't get away from that. I am so accustomed to anytime something good happens to KU football, just immediately getting shot back down. And, you know, we're going to probably have a bad loss. We've just, I mean, every team does. Like, is it weird that the other day I started stressing about the fact that now we have to be emotionally invested, like, hardcore every weekend? Like, football used to kind of be the time where it's like, hey, anything exciting is awesome, but the bad's just the bad. We're used to it. Now I'm, like, stressed. Like, damn, if we lose a Duke, that will suck a lot.
Yeah. Dude, earlier this morning, I literally told myself, going to the booth this Saturday is going to feel like the Reasoning Days. You're going to go to that stadium, and then if you lose, your Saturday's ruined. Like,
yeah,
you're going to go there expecting to win now. The next 3 weeks, like, I don't even care. TCU, yeah, we could be dogs. Maybe Iowa State, too. I'm going to be expecting to win these three games. I'm and be 5-1 or 6-0. Like, I'm going to go to the booth, and if we, like, a win or loss is going to make or break my day. Like, that wouldn't have been the case. Like, you would go hoping it would be a game. Now you hope to go win, and you expect to go win.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that K-State game with less, like, every single time we go
out there. Who the fuck is K-State?
Can I spill some news really quick?
Yeah.
So this is going back to the Oklahoma talk and, like, we won't beat them. We could. but just a little look ahead for four games down the road. Texas – or Oklahoma plays Texas the week before they get us, and then they have to go to Iowa State the week after. Little bit of a trap game, boys. Let's go win in Norman. Let's go win in Norman.
Yeah, until we're ranked 12th in the country. I don't think you can be
– 6-0.
College
game day.
I've talked myself into being 6-0 going to Norman.
Yep.
And that game will be game day. Mm-hmm. Bri doesn't want to get his hope up because he's such a big fan and he's seen all this through 13 years. Why can't we expect to beat any team in the country with the best offense right now?
Will
and
we
the offense
is favorites in Iowa State again. I mean, I guess it all depends. If we go blow out Duke, like, then yes, we might be favorites against
Iowa
State. We're
9-point favorites. So,
I don't know how accurate these are, but you know when you click on the game before it happens on the ESPN app and it has, like, the predictor index or whatever? So Iowa State, it's like a 60-40 for Iowa State, but the TCU game is just a 50-50 split right now. So, like, that's and then amazing. I think we're like 75 against Duke. So, like, we probably will be favored in two of these games as long as we just don't shit the bed and turn in the old KU again.
Campbell's amazing, but what is so outstanding about Iowa State this year? Like, after watching the Iowa game, I already had talked myself into us winning. It was a 10-7 final. They ended up winning, but they're well coached. But I really wonder what that spread is going to be.
It'll be under a touchdown. Like, assuming we take care of business.
I came into this episode thinking TCU's better. I just watched them against Colorado. I think their offense is a little more explosive.
Colorado's so bad, dude.
Yeah.
Colorado, they are just brutal.
But they got, like, they got Duggan, who's back for his eighth year. Chandler Morris, who's pretty good. They're gonna throw two quarterbacks at you. We probably should be talking about Duke, and we haven't even talked about the Houston game that much. But I'm talking myself into 5-1, worst case, going into OU, which is crazy. Because we can, if we lose,
I mean, it's very fair.
If we lose this weekend, we're gonna be like, we're gonna get on next week and be like, well, we're gonna be 500 going to Norman.
That's just the fun thing about what this team has done. Like, even if we did lose this weekend, it would suck. It'd be a bad loss. But, like, this offense has proven that we can compete in any game. Doesn't matter. Like, I know Houston's defense actually kind of stinks. I mean, they were really good last year, but, like,
I feel like
it's
still
Houston.
Statistically, they were good, but, like, analytically, they were like 119th in the country in explosive run defense. They just give up a lot of big plays on the ground. But they were in a couple.
I just feel like
the teams that play throw the ball a lot.
In regulation against UTSA and Texas Tech, they didn't give up too many points.
Yeah. I mean, I do think people are, like, underrating their defense a little bit and underrating KU's.
And those
offense,
are two good teams.
Yeah. They've got talk about a brutal non-con. I mean, they haven't
Houston
played like
walked
super
into a buzzsaw. You see UTSA on your schedule in Kansas 2 years ago, you're like, sweet. Auto two wins start the year, and they were sweating to beat UTSA and got shit pumped by the Hawks. So
just another point on Houston. Like, we spent an entire year on this podcast, on group chats, on Jayhawks slant, and all we wanted to do was get the Houston game off the schedule. And then we just went in and fucking dominated from like the 7 minute mark in the first quarter on. Just never looked back. It's just absolutely insane.
I somehow said we could maybe beat OU since they're gonna have a coaching change and new QB, and we just marked Houston as a loss. Like, no chance. You're going to Houston for their home opener.
You were more confident in winning against OU than you were Houston.
And we're down four. I don't know how you guys felt, but we're down 14-0. It's raining hard as a mother. And
I was not feeling good.
Lawrence Arnold, we just came out sluggish. Lawrence Arnold drops a first down pass, and I thought that might get to his head and JD's. We're down 14-0. They score on a screen where it looks like there's a bunch of penalties. And then 14-0, just like West Virginia, you get the ball. It's a must-score drive. They go right down and score. Like, it's just amazing how this offense answers every punch.
We don't self-inflict. Like, we just don't make mistakes. Like, how late was it till we committed our first penalty? Wasn't it like fourth quarter?
Like, I was at a wedding, for sure.
Yeah, because they had the fight on the sideline. I think that was an offsetting penalty, so that didn't technically count. And then they're so disciplined. The staff is just has these dudes so disciplined.
And it's crazy because, like, wild. The teams we're playing against are doing the stupid shit that we're used to. Like West Vaughn overtime, the drive was over. We're kicking a field goal, and the dummy just threw over JD, roughing the passer. And then in the Houston game, I don't remember exactly when in the game it was, but the drive was over again. I think the game was still close, and that D lineman just threw one of our offensive linemen to the ground, extends the drive. We score like two plays later. It's just a breath of fresh air to not be
the that little good. Things like Hyshaw losing that ball where it just flew out of his hands and he recovers it. In years past, that ball's picked up, taken back for a touchdown. Like, things are just going our way, and it's so surreal as a KU fan that's seen every little possible thing that could go wrong. And now it's like, if I playing against us right now has to be so frustrating. Like, Jalen Daniels will look like he's being caught for a 3rd and 9, and he'll break free and score a touchdown. Like, the things that we're turning into good things are just blowing my mind. And it's still hard for me because we are so used, and it's what I've said the whole time. Like, we're so used to bad that I'm questioning every single game, waiting for that moment where things go wrong. And it really just, other than the starts, that hadn't happened.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, what else you guys have on Houston? We got to talk to
I wanted to ask you guys about the weather delay, because that's another KU thing. God, KU's 2-0, and they're up, what was it, 21-14. We're inside the 5. The offense is cooking. Here's a weather delay to screw us over. And then I start getting negative. I'm tweeting negative things like, God, if we lose this game, we get to blame this. Blame it on this.
I tweeted the loss doesn't count if we lose. Like, that's how convinced I was.
And then I sit back and I go, oh, we got Andy Kotelnicki, one of the best play callers in the country. Maybe he'll draw something up nice. We come out, Luke Grimm, motioning left, moves the defense, motion back right. The cornerback can't catch up to him, right in the pylon, untouched, touchdown, 28-14.
So do you guys think that we went to the locker room and they just sat down and said, that's the play? Or were they in there running like all sorts of scenarios? Like,
that's what I was thinking
this
about.
One, we could do this one. Or was it just like, no, we're doing that one. It's going to work.
Like, they had to talk about it a little bit, but there's no way they spent an hour talking about that. Can you imagine how much they get in their head?
Room just running the same formation over and over again. Mm-hmm. Grimm's just gassed by the time they come out.
He's running motion 400 times since the hail started falling.
Yeah. I mean, all right. The
way they bounced back 14-0 with the rain coming down so hard. Like, that rain just got in my head. I thought it was going to be just a sluggish performance by the offense right after that happened. And then we should have scored 50 plus. We rushed for 280 and Houston's given up 100 on the ground so far this year. And then JD, five total touchdowns. Like, I mean, we could talk about him all day long.
Let's talk JD. We can still talk Houston. Let me do a DraftKings ad real quick. The NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100% with payouts bigger than ever. Why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game all season long. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KCSN to get $200 in free bets. If your team wins, you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code KCSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Speaking of DraftKings, there's an over-under on Saturday that's 64, and one of the teams in that game is averaging 53 points a game.
I said this last weekend. Like, I was kind of saying I sounded like an idiot because, you know, you feel stupid when you think you've outsmarted Vegas. You've outsmarted the handicappers. And it's like, but like, I genuinely think us being that we had watched these games and knowing that Lance has done, like, I truly could not believe some of the things that were set. Like, first half KU 11.5 last week, second half KU 13.5, Highshaw over 0.5, a half touchdown. Neil over 40 yards. Like, it all felt so easy to me. Like, it felt like we knew more than freaking Vegas at that time.
We do.
So now my question is, like, are we going to get duped? Are we going to get overconfident? And is really this line, should this line be 4? But we're like baking in, like, are they trying to get KU fans like us to just pour money on the Hawks? Or, like, is 8.5 like a real line? Like, I don't know. Now my brain is completely twisted.
I mean, how many KU football fans are there, though? Like, I feel like they don't try to trap people on an unranked KU versus Duke game. But, like, I get what you're saying. There's so many people are talking about KU football nationally, too, that it's
– like, is there any chance we were under – we were clearly very undervalued, but, like, is there any chance we've shifted quickly from undervalued to overvalued? I don't know. That's
– I thought that against Houston. Like, I even tweeted that, and someone was like, Vegas doesn't care about your money. Like, they make enough. But it made me feel like they don't know how good this team is and how good the staff is and how good the offense is. Like, we dropped 55 in Morgantown, and then I said last week, and I feel like you thought I was crazy, Rye, but I thought we were the better team going into Houston. I really thought we were better than them, and we were a double-digit underdog at one point, weren't we?
Yeah, I think it got to 10.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, you were dead right. Like, we were. You rewatched that game. We were the better team outside of those first couple minutes, that first quarter. But, yeah, so Duke, KU, what's the line at? 8.5 still? 8?
I would not.
I'll look it up now, but I think I saw 9.5 earlier.
Yeah, I just personally would not touch KU this week, and I don't know why. I'm a huge believer in our team and our offense and our coaching staff. And I guess the KU fan in me that has been a KU fan for these last 13 years might be creeping back in my mind, but I personally would not touch KU as a 2-point favorite. And I don't know why. I think Duke's super solid.
2-point favorite?
Or a 2-score favorite. Sorry.
Oh, I was like, I'll hammer them at 2.
Two-score
right now.
Maybe a little teaser action with -3 and over 58, but a 2-score favorite, I can't get myself to do it. I already have 500 on the over. I will say that. I just think KU's gonna score 40 plus. I don't see why they wouldn't. And
I'm staying away from KU. He's got 500 on the over.
I am staying away from KU's spread.
Well, yeah.
I believe in our offense all day long. I mean, am I crazy for thinking we're going to score? I feel insanely confident about scoring 40 plus.
Can I play devil's advocate on all this really quick?
Yes, what? We need to, because we are out of control right now.
So I don't think this will be the case this time because the situation is just very different. But is there any worry? Like, remember when Dearman lit it up for a couple games in a row and we're like, holy shit, this offense is sick. Like, no one can stop us. And then K-State just immediately stopped us and everyone else figured us out. Now, Les Miles had a lot to do with that because I'm pretty sure he just took over play calling or gave it back to some old dude that doesn't know what the hell he's doing, run it up the middle every time.
Carter texted me who was calling plays for the West Virginia game the other day. It was that Les Koenig dude.
Oh, God.
So Dearman called plays in Boston College.
Yeah.
And they win, score 100 points, rush for 5,000 yards, and then they come home for a huge game, 2-1, and Les Koenig was calling the plays.
Hell yeah.
Looking back. Wait, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, is there any worry that that happens again? Like, I don't think it will, just because I don't think Lance is going to move play calling duties to someone else. But I guess the bigger worry is someone going to figure it out? We get scared and go super basic, and then things collapse.
I think if you look at last year, the end of the year, like, you could tell there was something there with our offense. So, and it's just, you hear coaches talk about our offense, and it's just like a hard freaking scheme to defend. Like, you could hear Holgorsen talking like, yeah, we just, that their option, we just had no idea. And so, like, yeah, we're clearly not going to score 53 points a game. And we'll probably have a game where somebody schemes perfectly for us and that we look stupid. But I think we've proven that we are like a legitimate, like, it's not just a rant. Like, Dearman just felt like we kind of threw a brand new thing at someone, right? Like, that we went from pounding it down your throat with Les Miles and Les Koenig or whatever to all of a sudden Carter's just slinging the ball over the field. This just feels like it's our system. It works. We're good at it. And it may not work perfectly every game, but, like, I don't have a fear where it's just going to, like, disappear like it did with that KU team a few years back.
And so, I think if defenses like adjust and they start slowing us down a little bit, like I said earlier, I think our staff's so good at adjusting that they'll find something that works. And we're going to be in majority of games, like we said before the year, just because of the staff.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm excited so for the Jason Bean moment. Like, he's just going to have some play where we use him and it works perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, even in that play we just talked about earlier that Casey caught, Bean's going to throw a pass this year somehow, or catch a pass. Like, he's insanely fast.
Mm-hmm. They're going to use him as a decoy so often and just throw someone off in the Oklahoma game or something. Go nuts.
Yeah.
What if we win 10 games?
God. We're projected in a bowl game.
We're going to make a bowl game.
The Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Arizona. We got KU Illinois, the Bill Self Bowl, the Kevin Kane Bowl. We play them next year.
We are guaranteed to make a bowl game.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what we got to do to realistically make a bowl game.
We're going to make a bowl.
We haven't said a word about Duke. I love it.
I know. We'll get to Duke to wrap this up. We beat Duke this week. That gets us 4. Let's say we split TCU, Iowa State. That gets us 5. Is Texas Tech 6? Like, is that the route? Is that the most likely route? Or maybe it's K-State because they may stink. I don't know.
I'm not sure. You might think I'm crazy. I'm not sure we can't beat Oklahoma State at home. Sold out crowd. I watched their defense against Central Michigan. In week one, they're not as good as they were last year. They lost a lot of pieces. Spencer Sanders, another 8-year guy. Lost Gundy's a great coach. Yeah, so, I mean, it's at home. And then here's how I look at it. There's three-game stretches left. Three-game stretches. Mm-hmm. You got these three, and then you got the tough three we've talked about. Baylor, OU, Oklahoma State. Maybe you pull out one of those. And then I think the last three are winnable. Texas Tech, Texas at home, maybe without Ewers. I don't know what his health situation is. And then at K-State against the worst quarterback in the conference in a team that just lost to Tulane that we haven't talked about yet.
We'll get to that. I got many thoughts.
Am I wrong on the last three, though? Because last time I thought I was crazy at first. Tech almost lost to Houston. No. We just dominated at Houston. We can beat Tech. I think we can beat Texas.
I think we beat Tech. I tweeted this kind of as a joke just to take a shot. But, like, if we played K-State tomorrow, what's the line?
Where's it at?
Let's call it Arrowhead Stadium.
K-State minus one. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But like
that's what's crazy is that game's all of a sudden become winnable. Now, that could all change. K-State could look really good. Like, it could have just been a fluky bad loss. But their offense is certainly not good.
Many questions, yeah.
So, and Texas Tech, like you said, B-Turn, they – struggled with Houston. We beat them a few years now. I know they've improved, but like, I don't know. Texas Tech, one of the schools that just doesn't really scare me as much as clearly they used to.
Are we even sure how good Baylor is? I'm just saying. They lost at BYU. They only scored 20 points. BYU's good. They're ranked. They're well coached. They got a good defense. They're always good.
I'm just saying, how good are they?
I don't disagree with that at all. To be fair,
I just love that he stalked OU, Baylor, and Oklahoma State instead of like talking Iowa State. I guess you've talked yourself into winning every game. That's really just what you've done.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
How good is Baylor? I don't know.
No, but like, I'm not kidding. Years. Like, AB, when me and you went through the schedule and we were like, where are the wins at the beginning of the year? Now I go through the schedule and I'm like,
where are the losses?
This isn't that scary. Like, this isn't as terrifying as it once felt when we were the helpless Kansas Jayhawks. Now we're the electric offense Kansas Jayhawks, and I think we could compete with anyone.
I saw someone write that we were a dark horse to win the conference.
Was that Braden Turner?
No, it was some, like, national article. It was talking about KU's hot start and their 3-0. It was the Washington Post, I'm pretty sure. They put out the KU's 3-0, and they were like, oh, what if I told you that there's a sporting event between Kansas and Duke, and one of the coaches is a 9-letter last name, and it's called Coach K, and you think it was basketball. But no, it's footy.
My thing is, can we hang in all these games? Like, is there OU?
Will we? No, but we can.
I feel like we can win any game. Our quarterback's that good. And our stat, like I've said it a million times, how damn good is our coaching staff? If we lose Lance, and I hate even saying this because this needs to be positive, I'll seriously cry.
It will be devastating.
I think Nebraska job is so up for, like, I think there's a real possibility, and it scares me so much.
Well, it doesn't even, like, and even if it's not Nebraska, it'll be someone else in 3 months. Like, every time there's a big school or a big program with an opening, his name's going to come up.
If Notre Dame fires Freeman at the end of this year, which is very possible.
That's not going to happen. They're not going to do that.
Why not? These, the guy stinks.
How about all these in-state recruits picking Notre Dame and K-State and we're better?
Can you imagine if Lance is Notre Dame's coach next year? No, I'm just – but, like, that's the point, though, is we're at the point where Nebraska, yes, that's scary because he has ties to it, but any job that opens now until – like, it's just like Iowa State's been with Campbell. Campbell is in every coaching search rumor. NFL – college, like, it's just it's a good thing, but it does suck to think that Lance will be in every rumor possible.
Michigan question mark. Harbaugh goes to the NFL after another playoff appearance this year. They're looking for someone.
What if
Nick Saban back to the Dolphins?
what if Lance stays and then, like, Coach K, Kotelnecki, I hate saying his name. What if he gets a head coaching job?
That's the thing. I don't think we have much time with both of them.
I thought you were going to say, what if Lance stays and we go to the Big Ten where he loves it?
Oh. we're not doing Big Ten talk.
But here's my thing. I said it earlier. These dudes are super competitive. They took the KU job. That was, we already said it. That was a huge risk. You come to KU, you do what you usually do, go 1-11, 2-10 every year. You can't turn them around. Do you get another job? Maybe they came here to prove it. You're in a Power 5 conference already. Like, yeah, of course you're going to want to work towards a huge, massive football program one day, but maybe they want to stay at KU for a long time, and you're already in a big conference and a great conference that's about to add even better teams, BYU, Houston, UCF. I don't know.
It's stressful.
And OU and Texas are about to lose. Watch KU. I'm getting ahead of myself, but watch KU be one of the better teams in the Big 12 because of this staff.
I want to clip everything B-Turn said tonight.
Can I go nightmare scenario?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. What if Lance leaves, takes the staff with him? Like, we're going to struggle to keep guys around, right? Players?
Yeah.
Like LSU calls Jalen Daniels up. He'd be like, do I want to stick it out here?
Jalen Daniels is going to start at Nebraska, brother.
That's kind of my point. Yeah. Like, we're just going to get drained in the transfer portal. Like, and I don't want to get into this too much because we're very excited.
We need to stop. This is
I've had a couple of nightmare scenarios like that could be on the horizon, and I do not want that. But kind of gets my point. Like, just enjoy this season. Like, don't look at it as it's like, oh, it's KU football. I know they're hot now, waiting on the other shoe to drop. We haven't had this kind of season in 15 years. Like, just sit back and enjoy it. Whatever happens, happens, because who knows how long it'll be.
And, like, it's a good thing to have your coach in coaching search rumors. Like, absolutely. We just need to realize that. It is a good problem to have. It's going to suck, but it's a lot better than questioning your coach's mental well-being. Like,
and
it's
– we still have him for the whole year, no matter what, and he's undefeated. Who knows what could happen this year? He could take us to a bowl game. We win a bowl. He hands us over in a great spot. I am just going to tell myself that he's going to stay. And I think KU, like, just talking KU, I think every single KU football fan in the country should have their hopes up and should be in a great spot mentally where this program is right now. Eventually, you're going to have a new stadium, hopefully. They have one of the best coaches in the country, came to Lawrence somehow. And just even talking about Lance, how good is Goff and how good his coaching search was? Like, that was incredible. He took his time, did his due diligence, and now we're in this great spot, and everyone should be pumped about KU football in the state we're at right now.
Yep.
Is there a record for the amount of contract extensions in one season? Like, can we just give Lance another one, even though we just gave him one 3 weeks ago? Like, hey,
God, he can't.
We know we just got you one, but let's get you like four more, and let's bump your raise up to about, you know, $5 million. And
Lance's agent. I don't know who Lance's agent is, but that guy has to just be like
drooling. So that's why I didn't take much out of the response to the question about Nebraska when they asked him about it last week. Cause it's like his agent's probably in his ear telling him not to say anything too drastic. So what is he really supposed to say? Like, I know it could have been better, but if he just outright declines it publicly, then that steam kind of goes away.
That's the stuff, like, you know that Lance Leipold's going to listen if Nebraska calls. So, like, I appreciate that he's not doing the thing where they get mad at the reporters and they're like, I don't even know why you'd ask me about that. Like, oh, I have no interest in that job. And they just blatantly lie. Like, I appreciate Lance. I believe Lance when he said, like, I'm focused on Houston. Like, I believed him. But he's also going to listen if Nebraska calls.
I think people overreacted to that answer too. Like, I think it was the perfect answer.
It's just an impossible question to be asked.
Yeah.
Because I don't give a shit about North Carolina.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Let's talk Duke. So I'm wrapping it up. Duke,
I think they stink.
I don't know. Early, they kind of, like, people thought they were going to stink.
They do.
Then they beat Northwestern, who I think also really stinks, but Northwestern beat Nebraska, so people thought Northwestern was kind of good. I think Duke stinks.
Northwestern lost to Southern Illinois this week.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How bad's Nebraska then?
Yeah, really bad. They're bad. They're bad, 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 bad. But yeah, I mean, they beat Temple, who might be the worst team in FBS football. Beat Northwestern at the Horn. I don't know if you guys saw the game. I was on the under, so I was watching, but Northwestern fumbled at the inch yard line as time expired, essentially. And that would have tied the game, assuming they get the two, go to overtime. Who knows what happens? And then they beat North Carolina A&C, who's a real powerhouse. So I just I don't see it with Duke. I don't know really much about anything about them, but just based off of like their wins and how they looked in that Duke Northwestern game that I watched, like it just I just don't see it.
Here's how I look at it: NCA&T stinks. They are terrible. They had 41 rushes for 217 yards against Duke last week. Kansas.
Oh my God!
Just rushed for 280 against Houston. They rushed for 200 against West Virginia. They rushed for 290 against a really good Tennessee Tech team. We have 109 carries on the year. That was supposed to be funny. But we have 109 carries, 777 yards on the ground, 7 yards a carry. We are one of the best rushing teams in the country. We just ran it all over a good rush defense. And Duke just gave up 200-plus rushing yards to NCA&T.
NCA&T is losing by 40 points to FCS teams. Like, they're very bad. They're like Tennessee Tech.
So the spread kind of does make sense the more we talk about it.
Oh, you're on that spread by Saturday, I promise you.
No question.
So here's my thing, and this is, like, still hard for me to say, but, like, there's no reason we should not go out and just pump Duke. Like, we're just better. We're better coached. We got a better team. We got the best player on the field. We got the second best player on the field. We're going to beat Duke. Like, I have never felt more confident in the KU football game, and I hate that I'm even putting this out on airwaves. But, like, for once, I can go into a game really confident we're going to win. Like, I almost feel, I guess, Tennessee Tech. But, like, even that game, there were still so many unknowns. Like, did we get better in the offseason? Like, I knew we were going to win, but, like, it just feels amazing to feel this confident playing against another, like, an ACC program. So I think we roll. I don't know if we'll roll in, like, the same type of fashion where it's, like, Jalen necessarily. I mean, Jalen's got to, like, slow down, right, a little bit.
Yeah, but you could say, like, some of the running backs are due to pick
exactly
it up.
Like, yeah,
dude, that's what
they haven't been getting many touches
by B-turn. Yeah, like Devin Neal's not even touching the ball, still putting up decent numbers.
He's how many carries this year? Like 22, 23 carries this season?
Jalen, just the way Jalen runs it, too. Like, he could have a bad day, bad passing day, but he's going to make things happen with his feet. He's our leading rusher. He has, God, how many rushing touchdowns does he? He has three rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. But, like, so I feel like a ton of our drives get started by him rushing for, like, a 30-yard gain.
Yeah, so he's going to make things happen with his feet. And that's another thing about this KU team that is kind of scary. Our defense, I feel like I've said all year, it's going to take a little bit for them to mesh with so many fresh faces. What if our defense gets better? And why can't our defense get better?
They will. They absolutely will.
It's
scary. Yeah. We've got guys like Phelps, Young, Bryant. Kenny Logan had a pick. Like, we've got guys around that field that you see the moments where it's like, if this team starts to, like, mesh, it's going to be fun. Like, I don't know.
I got one question for you boys.
Mm-hmm.
What is our record after this 3-game home stretch?
AB, you go first.
I feel like if I say 5-1, I'm being a homer, but I feel like if I say 4-2, I'm being a hater. I'll go.
I'll finish my thought.
Go 5-1. It's just tough.
I was going to say.
Like, we're going to be able to tell a lot about this team once they get a loss, how they bounce back the next week. And I think the more likely game we lose between Iowa State and TCU is Iowa State. So my question is, okay, they just lost that. Do they bounce back against a pretty good TCU team and take care of business at home? That's just my only thing holding me back from being sure on 5-1.
I think saying 6-0 is being a homer. I think saying 5-1 is, like, very, very possible. Like, that's what's insane. Because you just got to – Duke needs to be a win. If it's not a win, that's a bad loss. And then let's say your dog's against Iowa State, but you could easily – like you said earlier, TCU-KU could be, like, 2-3-point spread. If TCU's favored, it's not going to be like by a touchdown or anything. So I think 5-1 is an extremely fair. You take a team that's averaging 53 points a game with 3 home games to think they can't go get 2 out of 3 games against these teams. It's not that absurd to say. So I'll say 5-1 as well.
Yeah, and then AB, do you say 4-2 because like KU's past 13 years? Like, are you? I feel like we all got skeptical when I asked that question. Like, we had to think about it. But now you see the product on the field, you see the staff, you see how good the offense is. Like, do we overthink what we could be because of our past?
Probably a little bit. I don't know if I put that into my thought process a whole lot. I think it's just more bouncing back after a loss because I probably take Iowa State to beat us, maybe. I mean, knowing this, we'll win. We'll beat the shit out of Duke. We'll come to homecoming against Iowa State with a packed house and win that game too. I mean, who knows what will happen. But
can I say this? If we're 4-2, that's not even that bad. Like,
no, we'd be thrilled.
We shouldn't be
about
melting
that.
Down, no, right? Yeah. Like, I know it'll kind of suck because that probably means we lose 2 straight. But like, 4-2 is still 4-2.
It probably means we lose like.
But I guess AB's saying straight, right? AB saying 5-1 makes him a homer. You know, yeah. I feel like it really doesn't. I feel like that we only think that because other fan bases almost still think we're a joke or don't believe. But I'm gonna say 5-1 for some reason. I don't know why. I just think we're going to lose the TCU game. It's just a weird feeling I have. I think we're going to win the next 2, start 5-0. We're going to be ranked. What do you guys think our attendance will be Saturday? And why won't it be sold out?
It won't. 11 a.m., not to be a hater, but I'm saying like 43.
Okay. So I was on your side, Rye, before I saw ticket prices today. When I saw ticket prices were like $60 to get into the game, like, I don't know, man. Like, the last time tickets were that high was that K-State game, and that was absolutely jam-packed except for the stupid little bowl area where you can't see behind the field goal club.
That's the thing shown on TV the most, which is the worst. But
so, like,
I don't know. I really don't know. We don't know what to expect. Like, we don't have a frame of reference for this in the 13 years.
Well, the lock of the week is guaranteed – sold out Iowa State if we beat Duke, with it being homecoming.
No matter what.
Yeah, homecoming. Everyone's in town. 2:30 kickoff. Iowa State. Yeah, 4-hour drive for them. Like, that place will be absolutely packed for Iowa State. If we lose, we might lose the team.
Well, the only thing that worries me is the away sections for this week against Duke. Like,
that's
those sections.
That's why.
But I don't. I mean, I'm talking to the ticket rep earlier. I'm saying how many tickets are left, how many tickets are left. And in the group tickets sections, there was only like 100 tickets left in those sections. So the side we were on for Tech, I feel like that was full to the top pretty much. Student section was close. If the student section isn't full, any of the students that don't fill it up can just drop out. Like, drop
That's
out
what
of
I'm
school.
Most excited about for Like, the students, they pretty much packed it for Tennessee Tech when we had – I mean, we had some sort of expectations for the team, but we didn't think we'd be this good. So it's like, why can't the students – like, would they just fill in the Duke side if they can't all fit on their part? Like, is it to the point where our student section is overflowing?
That's wild.
Also,
insane we're having these conversations.
And speaking of those conversations, thinking about the Reasoning days, were you guys a fan of the chant after the opening kickoff with the keys? Do we bring that back? I'm thinking about tweeting the video and saying
these kids don't
bring
even
back.
They were, but like, they can't even fathom what they don't remember that at all.
We got to get the plunger head to start talking about it. You know, he can spread the word.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
You know, I'm talking about the guy that wears like the plunger on his head. That's at like front row of every KU athletic event.
How do I not know him?
Oh my!
I don't know.
If you saw a picture, I guarantee you'd know in 1 second. But it's like the Halloween costume where half of it's sticking out of one end and half of it's coming out the other.
All right, let's do predictions. We're going on DraftKings because it's the only line, and we'll get to the green wave.
Okay, I was gonna say, don't cut this shit off before we get our hot takes.
I want your Duke KU predictions. KU -9 versus Duke. Over under 64. I'm all over the over. I got to have this KU team prove to me they're not gonna hit an over before I bet against it. So I'm on the over. I'm hesitant, like you, B-Turn, to take the 9. Not that I think we'll like struggle, but it does feel like it's gonna be a lot of pressure for these guys. Like, is there a chance they come out overjuiced and like over pumped up because they're playing in this front of this big crowd? And do they kind of like struggle? And I don't know.
You mean like they have in the last 2 games? Struggle?
Yeah, but even like Yeah. But even like maybe extended. I don't know. Like I could just see, like, I'm probably going to say Hawks 40, Duke 32. Like, I think we're going to be very close to covering, but I don't know. Do we just mess around a little bit because of nerves, and do we let it be closer than it should be? I don't know. That's just what I'm saying. I hate that I'm not taking the Hawks cover. They're going to cover, but that's my official prediction.
B-Turn, you want to go or you want me to?
I'm scared about the spread, and I think it's because KU in the past, and we're a two-score favorite, and that hasn't happened against like a Power 5 in a long time, so that scares me, but I would lean KU. Just reading how many rushing yards Duke gave up to NCA&C last weekend and how we're running it, probably, I mean, sounds crazy, but with the way we're going, you might have to score 40 against KU to cover that number. So, it's out, I mean, 30 or 35 at least, but I would take KU, and I'm putting a lot of money on the over.
Love it.
I'm scared.
Dug a little bit deeper on Duke. Northwestern ran for like 250 against Nebraska, but then they only 34 carries for 76 yards against Duke. But Duke was up big early in that game, and it wasn't like, I think the Northwestern did threw it 60 times. I can look at that really quick. Yeah, he was 36 of 60, which is just insane. So they were throwing the ball a lot, so just kind of climb back into it. But 44-24 Hawks, first quarter a little dicey, like always. And that boat race in the second half. So KU in the over.
We haven't even had a single-digit game this year, people are saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That overtime one was hilarious. You know who has lost a football game this year, AB? Just Missouri. Throw a random team out there. Who's
Missouri
lost?
Has.
Who's lost a game? Missouri.
Notre Dame lost twice.
They did.
Almost three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nebraska's pretty good.
Nebraska. They lost to Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Does Nebraska still have Adrian Martinez playing quarterback?
No. Where does he play at?
Well, he replaced
Skyler. Oh, that's right. K-State. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Bingo.
They lost. And then
Nebraska got Casey Thompson, who's worse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, Adrian Martinez plays for K-State.
Wildcats.
And they lost to Tulane. So, AB, thoughts?
Many thoughts. First of all, congratulations, Green Wave. Just a great win. Fought hard. Played good defense. He's getting a big job soon. Maybe the next Kansas head coach. We'll see what Lance does. But let me get back to the main point. K-State, I mean, we are 5 days away from KU being two games better than K-State in football. And to me, it's just like a lock. Like, and people are going to say, oh, you guys haven't won anything yet. Oh, wait till you play better teams. Okay, sorry. Our two wins, both of those teams are better than Tulane. I'll say that first of all. Second of all, you guys claimed a fucking national championship when you got Adrian Martinez, so I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it at all. You guys suck. You'll win 6 to 8 games like you do every goddamn year, but you'll claim that you're the best. Decade of dominance, part two is probably coming up with climbing. So it's nice to have the better coach. Nice to have a quarterback that K-State fans would seriously become. They would charge. What am I trying to say? They would suck penis for Jalen. They would. And I know that's crazy, but they legitimately would. And it's an awesome. I've been waiting for this moment since the Twitter app was invented to talk shit on K-State football and not be buried in the ground because KU was 2-10. This is the year. This one's the thing. Enjoy every second because we are at this moment, at this time, and take advantage of it as you can because who knows if we'll beat them later in the year. We'll get to that when it comes up. But right now, we're the better football team with a better coach and a better quarterback, and that cannot be like taken away from us. It's just an absolute fact.
The narrative that West Virginia and Houston aren't good football teams is hilarious to me.
It blows my mind. They just – it's a swinging goalpost. Whatever happens, they go with the opposite so they can disagree with KU. And the nerve of the K-State fan today to tweet at me and say that the majority of K-State fans are happy to see KU having success is the most blasphemous thing I have ever read in my entire life.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, if we lose on Saturday, AB, that will be the most shared clip in the history of video.
I've already gotten buried by K-State fans on Twitter more times than I can count. It bounces off of me like a bullet going into a whale. Like, it just does not matter. I can live with it, but I'm going to talk my shit while I can.
West Virginia almost wins at Pitt, probably should have won. Houston, great. I mean, that's a good-ass football team.
People were saying they were going to be in the playoff conversation this year, and 3 weeks later they're the worst team in FBS because KU beat them. Maybe credit KU and not diminish the Cougars or whoever they are.
I mean, scoring 50 points on anyone is impressive. They're averaging 53 points a game, and two of those games are against at West Virginia and at Houston. These are road games. Kansas doesn't win road games, and we've won how many? Three of our last four? If you count Texas last year, we had won two before that. Before Leipold came, we were 2-66 on the road, and now we're winning road games, and it's not good enough. And we're not playing good teams. We're playing against JT Daniels, who nearly was the starter for the national champions last year. At West Virginia, we're 14-point dogs. At Houston, we're 10-point dogs. We win both of those games, but nope, you're not playing anyone. You haven't beaten anyone good. We'll see against. In the next 3 weeks, we don't play anyone amazing, so it's going to have to be OU that we have to beat to prove ourselves.
Another thing, and I don't think we've even talked about this. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't.
The nerve!
Both of those road wins were the home openers for both of the schools, and everyone, like all the ticket offices, all the social media accounts, there's clearly a boost when it's someone's home opener and there's like a legitimate football program playing the game. Houston had high expectations. I know it was raining, but like, they're juiced to get in there. West Vaugh's juiced to watch a football game. They've got tradition coming off a tough loss. Like, I just don't get the hate. What do you want us to do? The moment we start caring about football, after that's all they've thrown at us for 10 years, is that we don't give a shit about football. The moment we start caring, we're caring too much and getting too excited. So I've been saying it forever. You can't win with these idiots. You never will. So just talk your shit and take your shit when it comes back to you, because it just means nothing. But take advantage of it while you can, because I'll absolutely be doing that, and I hope you guys join.
Last time we said Kansas was a better football team than K-State, we lost by 40.
I don't care.
But we are the better team right now.
My nightmare scenario
for sure. Do you think Lance Leipold would lose to the Green Wave?
Absolutely not. Can you imagine a Lance Leipold offense post year one putting up 10 points against a non-conference opponent that's unranked, not Power 5, at home, perfect weather?
Does Adrian stink right now? I don't know what – I was a big Adrian Martinez guy at Nebraska, just always believed in the talent, but he looks awful. I mean, he's got to be averaging 100 passing yards a game. Well, maybe.
Brayden, what? They got him because he can run the ball, and that's why they're going to score 35 points a game this year.
We got to play someone before we say our offense is good.
Yeah. I mean, Tulane would be 25-point favorites against West Vaugh and Houston's all-star team combined. So, like, I don't really know what else to say.
Was that enough, Ryan, right, or did you get any K-State hate?
No, AB took care of that for us. That was phenomenal, and I can't follow that up. It is so funny. Like I said before the K-State-Missouri game, like, picturing them losing would be hilarious. Them losing to Tulane was even funnier. Like, nobody saw that coming.
So perfect.
And it's just what they do. They are constant. They constantly get their hopes up, and it's always shot down. So,
From Tucker, Adrian Martinez averaging a whole 101 passing yards a game. Had a baby.
Against dorks.
Yeah, three of them.
Right.
And also, shout out to all the people that had the nuts to put on the table and say that Lance was a better coach than Klieman before the season started. Because it's easy for us to say it now because of what's gone on over the past 3 weeks. But like, I don't know how you could say otherwise. I don't think Klieman comes into this program and turns it around as fast as Lance did with us. Klieman is great at keeping up the tradition of winning 7 games a year and hyping people up to win a Big 12 championship that'll never come. So,
all right, boy.
Would you guys like some receipts on that?
Yeah. You have them?
Yep. Not – well, just from, like, after week one. No. Some – a KU fan tweets, one of the reasons I'm so confident in this Kansas team is because I know when we line it up each week, the best coach on the field is standing on our sideline. K-State fan quotes it, says LMFAO. And then a K-State fan says, I honestly don't understand the love and hype. He won 2 games and just beat the shittiest team maybe in the country. Congrats.
Will you send me these?
just for his personal pleasure. He's not even going to tweet him. He's just going to read him all night.
After we beat Tennessee Tech, just beat the shittiest team in the country. LOL, congrats, question mark. Did you guys like those?
I mean, life comes at you fast.
Haters. They're just such haters.
And they've got to be stunned right now.
It's rough.
We just won a national title. We just won a national title, and now we're better than them at football currently. May not stay that way, but currently we are.
Also, another Big Ten thought I had earlier, just a Big Ten thought, was remember every time we were in Big Ten talks and Vern was tweeting shit, K-State would go, why would they want you guys? You guys are the worst team in the country at football. They don't want a team that's not good at football. Now we're fucking better than them, and we're actually decent at football.
And here's the crazy thing. I know I've been jokingly tweeting 2027 Big Ten West champs. If we were in the Big Ten West this year, we actually would win that division. I have no doubts in my mind. It's bad.
We would. I would.
It's Nebraska. Wisconsin just got smoked by Wazoo a couple weeks ago. Like, Iowa's brutal. Like, it's just great.
Wow.
Let's just win the Big 12 this year.
This is a fun episode, boys. I Maybe need the fun football to keep winning, K-State to keep losing, and this will be a fun football season. But we got to wrap it up. It's been an hour. Longest episode we've done in a while. The Hawks are 3-0. Pack the booth. Sell that place out.
We don't even need to tell people to go to the booth. We don't even need to tell them. We don't even need to sell tickets or give away tickets. People are just going to go because the product on the field. National player of the week. One of the best coaches in the country. Best offensive coordinator in the world. He's literally better than Sean McVay.
What else do you need to get you to the booth on Saturday, folks?
We'll all be there.
That's all we got. We'll be back next week. Thank you all for listening. Rock smash.